Hey, Kevin Wall here. Open enrollment is here, and choosing a healthcare program is an important decision for you and your family. That's why I want to tell you about Liberty HealthShare. As a healthcare sharing ministry, they offer you another way to care for your health by sharing medical costs in a supportive community. Programs start as low as $349 per month, and there is no network, so you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more about your healthcare sharing options, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Hall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The Senate is nearing its goal of passing another coronavirus relief bill. Bob Agnew reports.
Both House and Senate lawmakers have passed their respective versions of a final COVID-19 bill for 2020, a roughly $900 billion effort that will be joined to a broader $1.4 trillion omnibus spending bill to keep the government up and running for the next year. The bill will provide another round of personal payments as well as more money for supplemental unemployment checks. Today, lawmakers debate and vote on the final version of the bill before sending it on to President Trump. Bob Agnew reporting.
California's recorded 500,000 coronavirus cases in the last 2 weeks and could have nearly 100,000 hospitalizations in the next month. California Governor Gavin Newsom says surging COVID-19 cases are swamping the state's hospitals.
We continue to see record-breaking ICU capacity, hospitals that are getting filled up, a surge that we are experiencing, not dissimilar to other parts of the country, but putting real challenges on our staffing here in the state.
Dr. Mark Galley, California Secretary of Health and Human Services, says the state fears some hospitals will exceed even their existing surge capacity. Newsom gave Monday's briefing from his home as he quarantined Sunday for the second time in 2 months after a staff member tested positive for the virus. President-elect Joe Biden publicly received his coronavirus shot this afternoon and thanked the staff at Christiana Care Hospital in Newark, Delaware, and even included a kind word for the Trump administration's initiative, which fostered the swift development of two FDA-approved vaccines.
One of the things is that I think that the administration deserves some credit getting this off the ground with Operation Warp Speed.
A mixed day on Wall Street as the Dow was up by 37 points, but the NASDAQ dropped 13, the S&P lower by 14. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I worry about lots of things. My finances, my grandkids.
If you're 65 or older, you have enough things to worry about. Pneumococcal pneumonia shouldn't be one of them. Even healthy adults 65 and older are at increased risk for this potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Help protect yourself with the Prevnar 13 pneumococcal 13 valent conjugate vaccine, diphtheria CRM 197 protein. Prevnar 13 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 13 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 13 does not protect against all strains of the disease. Don't get Prevnar 13 if you have had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with a weakened immune system may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-866-694-9300 or visit Prevnar13.com. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 13.
Several countries around the world are restricting travel from Britain and elsewhere.
I hate Christmas shopping, dealing with surly clerks, crowded brick-and-mortar stores, and how do you make sure you purchase just the right gift? Hey, Kevin Wall here. That's where my friends at Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn come in. You can send friends and family delicious Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn in one of 19 flavors. If you own a business, Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn can put your brand on every bag. It's a great icebreaker for businesses that rely on sales and marketing. I mean, everybody loves popcorn. Just in time for the holidays, send a great-tasting gift to friends, family, and business associates. Personalize your gift with a family picture or corporate logo right on the bag. And get this, take 20% off your purchase by using the promo code KevinWall2020. That's the promo code Kevin Wall 2020. Order right now at sendpopcorngifts.com. That's sendpopcorngifts.com. Check out Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn.
It's 4:04. This KMZQ News Flash is powered by Mr. Law, your authority for divorce, personal injury, and probate. I'm Jim Dallas. House and Senate negotiators have agreed on a $900 billion coronavirus relief package and will vote today to get relief to Americans dealing with the pandemic and its economic impact, which has put millions of people out of work. The package includes $600 relief checks for individuals, $300 more per week for unemployment benefits, and more than $280 billion for small businesses, which have been decimated by the COVID-19 restrictions and the closures this year. Nevada Senator Catherine Cortez Masto tells the Review Journal that no matter what is passed in the current measure, it's merely a, quote, down payment on more federal help, which Congress and the incoming administration must put together early next year. COVID-19 claims another victim as a laundry and linen business, which serves the Las Vegas hotels and resorts, has closed one of its local plants. Brady Linen Services has filed paperwork with the state, announcing plans to close its Four Master Lane plant and lay off some 150 employees. Caesars Entertainment's last closed property near Las Vegas, well, at least near the Strip anyway, is about to reopen. The Rio reopens tomorrow on Thursdays through Mondays.
KMZQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
Got a crash on the 95. That's after Martin Luther King. Also, we're getting some slow flows in a couple of areas on the freeways. 15 southbound at Oakey. Eastbound, Timberland Parkway at Buffalo. You'll tap the brakes through there. Also, congestion on the Southern Beltway, 215 east at St. Rose.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. I'm getting into the Christmas spirit. I'm geeked about it. I'm so excited. And on a show like this, it's always good to have what I call friends and family. And so it is with Scott Hammond, State Senator, Nevada District 18. He joins us. Scott, Merry Christmas. Hope you're enjoying this Christmas season. What are you doing for Christmas?
I am doing what we always do at Christmas. We got four kids. We stay home. We
oh, my gosh.
We don't go. You know, my in-laws every year always ask us to come and hang out at Christmas, and we're like, well, you know, we got four kids. We did it a couple times, but when you have to travel with four kids, all the gifts, all the other stuff, we kind of said, no, you know, we don't do that anymore. Now, my son's trying to talk me into going to Cancun because he spent the last year and a half down there in Mexico, and he says, you know, it's time to go up there. They're down to Mexico because nobody else is going right now. And I said, oh, well, I don't know if your mom's going to let us do that. So that probably won't happen either. I think we're just going to see the Hammonds at home all Christmas season.
I think that's a great way to spend Christmas Day and the Christmas week. Let me just ask you, and I want to get some of this business stuff out of the way. We have this memorandum of understanding between the CCSD and the teachers union. I had John Velardita on Friday, and one of the suggestions I made to him, because I just don't know that even if you do want to transition, you can do it, you know, close a business on Friday, reopen, you know, as a hybrid district
on Monday. First of all, what did you think of the Memorandum of Understanding? Have you seen it yet? Do you know what's in it? And your general impressions?
I haven't read through the whole thing. My general impression is that they know now. It's coming from more and more sources, different people across the nation, that we need to get our kids back into schools. And even if we're just talking about the elementary age kids, you know, we're talking kindergarten through third, fourth, fifth grade, they know that it needs to happen. They've got to get them back in school. We're losing so much time with these students. And so I haven't gone through it. I understand that there are certain needs that they have. Of course, the protection of teachers is paramount. And I think that, you know, when they talked about PPE, there's plenty of that. A lot of that was ordered this past summer. A lot of it been stored by the county, waiting in anticipation of the schools opening reopening and having students in the schools. So I think that they're poised to have all that stuff ready to go. Plus, we will be on the other side of the COVID vaccination and the distribution of it. So I know that those are concerns, and I think that they worked it out in you know, making sure that everybody was more than anything, they were safe going back to schools, and that's the most important thing.
Now, there are some teachers who do not feel safe, even with PPE and some of these other things. And there is a provision supposedly in this Memorandum of Understanding for teachers who want to opt out. They can go back to online learning. They don't have to go into brick-and-mortar schools. Is that going to add up math-wise? I mean, it sounds like there might be too many teachers that want to stay online and not enough positions. How do you rectify that?
That's probably going to be the hardest logistically to figure out, because what you need is a certain number of teachers at each school. And so if you just have a whole bunch of teachers at one school or want to be online, that may not work out. That's probably going to be the most difficult portion to figure out in the end. I mean, I know that there were talks at different charter schools. I went through this with my wife. We talked about how, you know, there's got to be an option for some of those teachers. There are some teachers who are in high-risk categories, and it'd be nice if that option was given to them so that they can continue to teach online. And then, of course, students. There are going to be some students who are in situations, you know, maybe they live with grandparents, and those grandparents have they're more susceptible. So, you know, you want to make sure that you have a class created for them that they can participate in. So that's going to be the hardest part logistically, is to figure out who needs to be on those online classes and then work it out so there's enough teachers still in the classrooms. That's going to be hard. I don't know how they get to it, but I think that they need to arrive at that, because, you know, many teachers that I know still want to go back to the classroom. They want to be there. So there's going to be plenty of teachers who would like to go back. I shouldn't say plenty. There's going to be a lot of teachers who do, and, you know, they're just going to have to figure that part out. Who goes, who stays, and how do you figure it out? Do you go by risk categories? I mean, there's always going to be somebody who doesn't like how things are chosen, just like you're hearing now with who gets the vaccine first, or what category of people get it. I think the same thing is going to happen when you talk about, well, what teachers are going to need to be in the classroom, because they can't all teach online.
I know that I spoke with John Velardita, the head of the teachers union, last Friday afternoon, and one of the things that I asked him was, I know from just talking with teachers in the elementary level that a lot of folks have been testing their kids, and the fear is that the parents were sitting right next to them helping in the teaching. But even John Velardita said, you know, when these test results come out in a few weeks, you're going to be shocked at how low some of these things are. Are you worried about the testing that comes in, that this first semester, which was just completed on Friday, is going to be kind of a lost semester?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you're right. I think a lot of us are going to, you know, I'm anticipating very low scores and very low improvement from students, because, quite frankly, some of them just haven't been in school. I don't like to level too many criticisms, because I think that this is all a trying time for everybody. But, you know, when it comes to CCSD, one of the things I was a little chagrined about was the fact that students could be online but not have to show themselves on a camera. So you don't know for sure if that student was present in front of you and listening. You don't know. I thought that they should have done something like my wife, their school has a policy that if you're in class, you have to be You have to be online. If you, you know, you have, your face has to be there so that the teacher can see that you are participating, that you're there, you're listening. And if you're, if the camera's not on, then they can kick you out of class and explain to your parents why you were kicked out of class. I think that that needs to happen. I'm not saying that that necessarily is going to help the scores, but I think it does provide some comfort to the teachers who are trying to make sure that the kids are getting the information, that they are learning, that they're getting those steps. But I think I think Valadita's right. I think we're going to see some pretty low scores. And the ones I do worry about also, though, my wife has experienced this too, and I bet you there's a lot of other teachers who are probably going to shake their heads yes when they hear this. There are a lot of students with individual education plans, IEPs, that traditionally score very low in certain categories. And then towards the end of the quarter semester, my wife was seeing that they were scoring very high. Matter of fact, higher than a lot of their previous scores on testing would indicate. And that's probably because they had a parent sitting next to them and helping them out. And I'm not begrudging the parents for helping them out. It's just that sometimes when you're testing, it doesn't give you, the teacher, clear picture as to where the child is in their learning. And so you adjust your teaching and you adjust your schedule, your teaching schedule and lesson planning according to what the students need. And so I just don't think that in the end they're going to have a real true judgment of either where they're at or where they need to be at right now, you know, the lesson plans, where the teachers need to be at. And so, yeah, you're talking about a lost semester. It might be, you know.
And that together with the last half of the previous semester, beginning March 17, when the governor closed down our state. I want to ask, how have private schools done this? I know a lot of private schools have stayed open. They've been charter schools and that. They've had brick and mortar. How have they done it? I mean, is there a blueprint for how to do this?
Oh, I bet you if we sat down with a few of them, they would tell you exactly how they have succeeded. And I have talked to a few of them. I haven't gone through all the logistics with them, but one of the things that they did routinely was to talk with their parents. What was their comfort level? For example, if a student did come down with something, what was the comfort level? How many days out? How many people would have to shut down? I mean, there was a lot of that they had to go through, you know, just the process of what this looks like. I mean, they had to adhere to all the state standards and what the state was asking. But they also had some, you know, some other controls over that as well. You go above and beyond what was asked of them. And so it was just a lot of communication with parents and creativity. I know some of them would go every other day, or some of them were doing, you know, some things that mitigated the students from catching the virus, or mitigating the students from passing it on to other students. So that, you know, there's definitely, I think in the end, you better have a report from the private schools and figure out how they did it. A lot of them, of course, had smaller classes, smaller class size, smaller schools, and they were more nimble. And in the end, maybe, you know, that's one of the things we might have to look at in the future, is the nimbleness of the private schools, the private sector in this case. But that kind of goes into what I've always said, that we need to be more creative in the future. I think school choice is going to be something that's going to be talked about in the next legislative session, and I hope it becomes a really robust conversation between both sides. I think that we have to admit that it's not the Republicans are not trying to privatize everything. We are trying to make things better, and it really is a question of finding different methods of delivering education, and that different delivery is going to allow students to have smaller classrooms or smaller schools and be more nimble and deliver the education that particular child wants, that student wants and needs. So hopefully that happens.
Again, Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, Nevada District 18. What will the transition look like? What would you like it to look like? And how long will it take to get teachers acclimated, students acclimated, parents acclimated, and actually get this thing ready to open up again?
I would anticipate that we won't see, I don't think February is probably what I'm thinking. They'll be back in February, and it still won't look like a regular school year. I don't know if we will actually see a regular classroom like we have in the past until next fall. Mm. So the hybrid is probably what you're going to see starting somewhere the end of January, beginning of February. And that hybrid will differ from, you know, definitely differ from one private school to another, from private school to charter, from charter to a public, you know, CCSD school. But it just won't. It probably won't look like what we're used to until next year.
More coming up from Scott Hammond. We'll also talk about the next teletown hall. I love these things. And people in his district, people across the state, love this because they get so much information out of them. We'll talk more with Scott Hammond coming up in just a couple minutes right here on AM 670 KMZQ.
Best to talk about it.
I like talk radio.
Great you're talking about this. This is a great day.
You gotta listen to talk radio and you've gotta rise up. Can we just
talk? AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Guys and gals, by now you know there are non-invasive and minimally invasive medical solutions to hair restoration without side effects, right?
No.
Okay, so you don't know. Doctors of Hair use only clinically proven treatments, from platelet-rich plasma hair therapy that uses your own platelets to stimulate stem cells deep in your hair follicle to halt hair loss and regrow hair, to the FDA-cleared clinical hair restoration laser that's proven to regrow hair, to neograft hair transplants that offer discreet, natural-looking results in a week or less with no linear scarring. All of these services are administered by Doctors of Hair caring medical professionals, experts at understanding how devastating hair loss can be at any age. Treatments work for both men and women wanting a natural, thicker head of hair without side effects.
Doctors of Hair, call now, 702-751-0086. That's 702-751-0086 or online at doctorsofhair.com.
Doctors of Hair, now you know.
For over 30 years, Ichabod's Lounge has provided incredible food, gaming, and nightly entertainment. Hey, Kevin Wall here. They've been here to serve you through good times and bad. Now, a lot of Vegas restaurants have been forced to close due to the governor's latest restrictions. But Francois and his amazing staff at Ichabod's Lounge aren't going anywhere, regardless of what may lie ahead for us. And at Ichabod's Lounge, your safety is their number one priority. So you'll see bartenders and servers wiping down services again and again. Even in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, Ichabod's is ready to serve you. But they know that some of you are reluctant to get out, and they get it. That's why Ichabod's Lounge features their incredible menu for both dine-in and carry-out. Call 702-451-2323. 702-451-2323. Ichabod's Lounge featuring old-school Vegas atmosphere and one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas. Ichabod's Lounge open 24-7. Vintage Vegas dining, gaming lounge, and piano bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Uh-oh. You have an ugly, embarrassing fungus on your toes and don't know what to do. You've tried topical medications and they simply didn't work. You're fearful of the doctor's knife, painful laser treatments, and don't want any part of sulfur-containing oral drugs. Well, Bye Bye Fungus is your answer for fast, safe, and effective treatment of awful fungal infections. Bye Bye Fungus is based upon advanced technology that utilizes a patented combination of isoamalactate and jojoba oil. No other topical product includes this patented combination of ingredients, which work together to quickly eradicate the fungus. Bye Bye Fungus is as easy to apply as nail polish, and for a limited time, you can receive a 20% discount by calling 1-800-258-3635 and mentioning the Kevin Wall Show. That's 1-800-258-3635, or visit us at byebyefungus.com and enter the discount code WALL.
Hey, it's Pat Casale with the MultiCare Group. Open enrollment time is here. Anyone who needs individual or family coverage should give the MultiCare Group a call at 702-396-9449. That's 396-9449. Lots of changes this year as we add two new carriers. In addition, we've extended open enrollment until January 15th. Whether you want to enroll with the Silver State Exchange or direct with a carrier, the MultiCare Group can help. All the plans we offer are qualified health plans. They'll provide you with free annual exams, telemedical exams, and the best networks in the valley. The MultiCare Group will tailor our plan to fit your family's budget. Our services are no cost to our clients. All you pay is the premiums the carriers charge. The best part of working with the MultiCare Group is not when you buy the insurance, it's when you need the insurance the most. We're going to be with you every step of the way to make sure you maximize your health plans. So call 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449 and set up an appointment today. It could be live over the phone or you can come and meet us in person. Thanks again. We'll hope to hear from you soon.
It's all about Las Vegas. Live and local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right. Silver Bells.
It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day.
Well, what a great time to be around friends and family. That's what today's show is all about, and I'm so excited. This hour brought to you by Steve and Amy Miller from Blue Sky Insurance. If you've lost your employer-based insurance coverage, or if you're contemplating retirement, you need to talk with my friends at Blue Sky Insurance. And the conversation, it's free, no charge. The consultation is absolutely free. Here, all you got to do is pick up the phone and call them. Do it right now, 702-410-8020. That's 702-410-8020. That's Blue Sky Insurance. I always mention that these shows around the holidays are always fun because I call them friends and family shows. And Scott Hammond is just that. He's a good friend of this program. He has been for years now. He's a state senator, Nevada District 18. I want to ask you, the Moderna vaccine is in. The governor welcomed it into the state this morning. Are you satisfied with how the governor has gone about doing this?
I'm satisfied for now. I mean, the biggest problem is always, you know, who's going to get it? You know, what's the protocol for who's going to get it? And I think that's going to work itself out. I think there's enough people that I'm talking to who just say, hey, you know what, it's great, it's out. I'm going to take a back seat until later. I mean, if somebody else wants to take it first, they can do that. So it'll work itself out. I think for the most part that, I kind of go back and forth. I also think one of the best ways to do this is to get that herd immunity. And like in my house, or a lot of the kids in my house got it all at one time and they haven't had it since. You know, we've been pretty clean. And the kids barely even knew they were sick. So, you know, I think a lot of people just like to move on and talk about something a little happier at this point. I know that that's the big news, but it's Christmas. It is a reminder that it's Christmas season. I am actually, for those of you who are listening in, I was actually out there with my wife shopping because she asked me to go shopping with her, which that doesn't happen very often. And then I took the phone call. I said, well, I'm going to go. I'm sitting in the car and just on the radio. But it is, you know, there are a lot of people out. There are a lot of people out there shopping. They got their masks on. They try to stay away from each other. They do all the things. They try to be as clean as possible. But they're out there trying to remember that this is life, right? Day in and day out, they're trying to enjoy themselves. As a very famous coach once said, cry a little bit, laugh a little bit. That's a full day, and I think that's what everybody's trying to do.
I love that. I love that. Let me just ask you, though, and you keep your ear to the ground. You talk with people. You talk with colleagues in the state Senate. You talk with constituents, folks from around the state with your teletown halls. And I'm just curious, your sense of where we are from a financial standpoint. We see all these stories of food lines and free, Three Square and different organizations like that doing a job getting food to folks during the holidays. I'm curious what your sense of where we are with the economy, with jobs, with people being able to pay their rent, the eviction moratorium and all of that from the governor. What is your sense of where we are now as far as a recovery?
Well, Kevin, see, I was trying to spin and be happy for a second. Now you're going to bring me right back.
I know. Just trying to be honest.
It really is.
Trying to be real.
Doom and gloom a little bit. I mean, let's be honest. We just heard about more people laying off, and we knew this was going to happen. I had a feeling that if we were around, 14 to 18% unemployment or in those unemployment rates in December, we were going to be in trouble. And I think we are. And I don't know exactly what the numbers are. I haven't caught up with them. With that, but I believe we're still in high double digits. So I'm worried about it. I worry about the moratorium on evictions because sometimes when you play around with that a little bit, that tends to come back and bite you in the butt a little bit. So I'm worried about that. I know that the stimulus is going to be passed. We're going to see people with checks. I just don't know if it's going to be. I worry because I think that by the time we see January, February roll out, I think we're going to see still high unemployment.
Well, the one good thing that even the Democrats are saying is this is just the first step. The new administration gets in. There will be more stimulus coming up after the first of the year. We'll see. But they're saying checks or direct deposits will be in your account.